Father, as always, I thank you for the entrance of your word brings light. And it gives understanding to the simple. Now we ask that that light will shine into our hearts this morning. And the Lord will give us understanding. Paul said, well, I speak as unto wise men. You know, the Lord give you understanding concerning the things that I say. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've seen the effects of unbelief and doubt yesterday. We talked a little bit about faith and believing, but I want to talk some more about faith and believing today because, you know, that's where it's all about. I'm going to start here at Romans chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. For what if some did not believe? In other words, you know, or maybe some to whom the oracles of God were committed, he said. You know, he said the oracles of God were committed to them. But what if they did not believe? Some of them at least. Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, even as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. So, let God be true. Well, God is true in his word. Jesus, in his prayer, in John chapter 17, he said, well, sanctify them, you know, by thy word. Say, thy word is truth. You know, sanctify them in thy truth. So we know the truth is in the word of God. And so today we want to talk more about faith. Now, if some people don't believe, well, so what? When God gives a promise or says something and some people don't believe it, so what? You know, it's still going to come to pass and there's some people that will believe it, you know. I mean, let's read a few lessons here in the book of Hebrews 11. Today's topic, by the way, is faith. And I gave an acronym and a representation of that, you know, what that acronym might represent. Faith, F-A-I-T-H. Fully and intentionally trusting him. That's right. So, you know, we got to fully trust him and we got to be intentional about it. And, you know, this is the way that Hebrews 11, let's see how Hebrews 11 talks about it. Hebrews 11 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. And so there's a lot of things written in this whole chapter 11 of Hebrews about faith. Exploits of faith. You know, how people, you know, went through and did many things. Faith. I'm going to bring out a few here and there. You know, those who fully and intentionally trusted the Lord. You know, and through many of these lessons, we will learn something for ourselves. The first one I want to talk about is Noah. By faith, Hebrews 11 and verse 7. Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Now listen to this. By the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So when God said, you know, look, I've had it to hear, and I will not always strive with man, and I'm going to, you know, destroy the whole planet. And, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and he preached that God was going to destroy the world, you know, but nobody believed anything. Well, there are two things that we read in this, verse 7 of Hebrews 11. Number one, Noah, he believed the word of God. When God warned of impending judgment, he moved quickly, you know, with the fear of the Lord in his heart, and he prepared an ark as God gave it to him. Number two, we learned that the very actions of Noah condemned the rest of the world. So, all it takes is one person. If one person believes, then they condemn all the others that don't believe. And God will always have a remnant. There will be no situation in which, you know, there will be no single person that will believe anything that God is saying at any particular time. There will always be somebody that will believe. As a matter of fact, one time Elijah, he thought he was the only one. And God said, no, I got me 7,000 that have not bowed the knees to Baal. And so God always has his people. You know, and there will always be someone that believes. And the moment someone believes, well, Bible say by the which he condemned the world. Because he believed, he condemned the rest of the world. You know, so, and what if the rest of the world didn't believe? Will it make what God said to be of none effect? Absolutely not. They mocked him because, you know, what is rain, they said. But there'd never been any rain, you know. And, you know, so and they mocked and laughed and everything. And when he was building the ark, took a long time, 120 years preparing, you know. Got some help, too. The Lord showed him, you know, where to get the wood and the timber. And that's the other thing, too. It's a lesson here also. A lesson of faith and believing. Yesterday we talked about believing means putting action to your faith. Well, this man, he put action. He was moved with fear. Like, wow, God's going to destroy the world. And, you know, God gave him strategy and he began to do it. But the Lord, when the Lord tells you, your name is Noah, and he tells you he's going to destroy the world, you know, and that you need to build an ark, but you are the one that's going to build the ark. That's another lesson there. God will show you where to get the wood and the timber. And he give you the skill. But you are going to build the ark. He's not going to build the ark for you. But he'll show you where to get the materials that you need. But you're going to have to build the ark. I mean, this lesson is throughout the scriptures. All the time. And people forget these things. That look, the Lord has told you the storm is coming, but you will have to build the ark. That's right. So that's lesson number one, punchline number one for us today. But this man's faith and his action condemned the rest of the world. Yeah, so if the rest of them didn't believe, so what? They laughed at him, mocked him, and so forth. Nobody was laughing in the day that God closed the doors of the ark and the heavens opened up. Nobody was laughing then. If you were not in that ark, it was too late. You know, so, you know, and the Lord said certain things today, the same way with people, they don't believe. People don't believe that the Lord is coming back. They don't believe in all these things. So what? Well, you believe it or not, it's not going to change anything, you know, but it's going to happen just like the Lord said it. You know, you may believe or you may not believe. It's not changing anything. The unbelief of some will not make the faith of God, the word of God of none effect. You know, so that's what we see in the story of Noah and the elements of faith. In Noah showed us that he actually had to do something about it. You know, so that's the believing part. You know, when you say, I have faith, then you've got to put works to it. That's the way James described it. And so his works were, well, building the ark. That's a long time. Back in the day, they used to live many, many hundreds of years. Some of them 600, 700, 800, even 900, you know, years. Out of that, all that time, it took him 120 years or so building that ark. Well, there's a lot of specification, you know, and, well, he did it finally. And God gave him favor. God gave him, you know, even grace. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know, and God put something upon him. He was able to, you know, order all the animals. By that time, all the animals were already wild. They were already wild. But because of the favor and grace that returned upon Noah, he was able to put all the animals in subjection. You've never seen any such thing in the scriptures. You know, I mean, he was a trailblazer. I mean, he did incredible things that nobody else has ever done. Bring all the wild animals and all the chicken and all the deer and everything in the same place with the tigers and the lions and the hyenas and the cougars and pumas and so forth. And he said, everybody stay over there and behave yourselves. No growling, no roaring and all of that. Wait until it is time to eat. And so and everything, everybody just behaved themselves. They lined up in there two by two. They walked in the ark. Noah was there and kept everything in order. My goodness. Now, you talk about dominion. Now, that's some dominion. That was some substance that God put upon Noah. No, you know, put it upon him like that. It was emanating, you know, out of him. You know, it was like, you know, oozing that presence that put everything in check. Adam had it at one time until he lost it. You know, so, but God put it upon Noah, and he had that, you know, grace and power and dominion over all the animals. But he had to do something about what God was telling him. So that's what he did. Well, there's a lot of other stories in this Hebrews 11. We've talked about the story of Abraham. We talked about that yesterday already. And, you know, it's also the story here of Moses and so forth. There's a silent story about Moses, actually, what his mother did, you know, how his mother, with the help of Moses' little sister, you know, they made their own little ark and put Moses in it, put him up on River Nile and, sent him away so that he would not be killed. You know, they took a chance and they believed. But they took action. They did something about it. You know, and, well, you know, God, you know, used the actions that they took, you know, to bring to pass a tremendous thing in saving that child and preparing him for the future. Now, the part that I want to talk about today, you know, as we said, the faith is fully and intentionally trusting him. Well, that must lead to some action that you will have to take. You know, and there are some stories, other stories, you know, that I want to, you know, talk to us today. In the story of, there is a lesson and a story here in 2 Kings chapter 7. In 2 Kings chapter 7, we see that Elisha, you know, said, made a declaration, and the Assyrians had camped around them, cut off their supplies, and so forth. And Elisha made a declaration and said, by this time tomorrow, you know, about this time, well, he said, you know, a measure of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria, and so forth. Now, by this time, there was a dire famine in the land. Everything cut off. Their supply prices had skyrocketed and all of that. Nobody could get anything because there was limited supply, scarcity everywhere. And Elisha is saying here that, well, tomorrow there's going to be such an abundance that things will be almost like being given away. He said, well, you know, you know, today maybe gasoline is being sold for 5 or 6 gallons. I mean, $6 a gallon. You know, he said, well, tomorrow it'll be sold for a nickel. You know, that, you know, compare that in your mind of what he was saying. You know, tomorrow gasoline will be sold for a nickel everywhere. Even though today it's $6 in one place, $5 in another, and so on. Tomorrow, It'll be so far and it'll be so cheap. You know. That's the gravity of what he was saying. Of course, you know, somebody did not believe it. Let's look at, you know, what if the, you know, unbelief of one person, shall he make the word of God of none effect? Well, let's look at it in this story. One man, maybe chief of army staff or, you know, chief of staff of the king or whatever. He said, well, come on now. Even if the Lord will make windows in heaven, I mean, might this thing be? I mean, look around us. Everything is dry. Everything has withered away. There are no food being sold anywhere. You know, the marketplaces are dry. There's nothing. And you're telling us that it's going to be such an abundance tomorrow. How is this thing going to happen between now and tomorrow? You know, what if some did not believe? Well, shall their unbelief make the faith of God of none effect, or the word of God? You know, so, okay, well, the man of God said to him, and that's a dangerous thing for you to come up against the word of God like that. You know, and then the Lord put it in the mouth of, you know, Elisha and said to him, okay, so you don't think? I said, all right. Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. And your unbelief is not going to prevent it from happening. It will happen. You will just be the one that's going to miss out. Basically what he told him. But how did God bring it to pass? Interesting story here. There were four lepers, you know, who were at the entering of the gate. Were usually, you know, banished because of their leprosy and all of that. You know, so, and they said to themselves, look, what shall we do? Should we sit here until we die? We know we are going to die anyway. There's so much famine in the land. You know, we're going to die. You know, two things are certain. You know, if we say, let's go back in the city, the famine's in the city, we're going to die there. If we sit here still, we're going to die here. You know, but there is something that's an unknown. And we can take a chance to that. They said, look, let us fall into the host of the Syrians. Now, that's an unknown part. These two things are known. Stay here, we will die. Go to the city, we will die. Well, there's one thing that's unknown. We're going to take a chance. Maybe they will save us alive. And if they don't, well, we're going to die anyway. So we're not going to be any worse off. Well, let's take a chance. And so they decide among themselves, you know, they say, well, are you sure about this? Yeah, yeah. You know, what do we have to lose? So they went towards the camp of the Syrians. And as they were going, listen to this, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Elisha might be fulfilled. God did something incredible here. You have to read between the lines. You know, he did something amazing. There was only four lepers coming. You know, but God made the sound of their, you know, footsteps to sound like thunderous hundreds and thousands of chariots that were coming. You know, and God can do anything. There is nothing God cannot do in order to bring his word to pass. The prophet already said it, and the Lord said, look, you know, I am the Lord that frustrated the tokens of the liars. I do that. But also, you know, I, you know, will honor the word of my servant. Isaiah 44, the Lord said that in verses 24, you know, to 26. I am the Lord that stretched forth the heavens alone and all these things, and the earth by myself. I didn't need any help then, and I don't need any help now. I frustrate the tokens of the liars and make diviners mad. Turn it back, wise men, and so forth. Make their knowledge foolish. But then I confirm the word of his servant. That's right. I'm the Lord that does that. Confirm the word of my servant and the counsel of my messengers. Glory to God. Now, the word of God's servant was this time tomorrow, things will be so cheap. You know, you'll be buying, you know, two, get one free, or even buy one, get two free. Yeah, I mean, things will be just so cheap all over the place. And that was the word. in order for that word to come to pass, because natural events around that word were contradicting to that word, but because the word of God had gone forth, you know, in order for it to come to pass, God would even take the footsteps of four lepers, turn them to sound like thunderous hoofs of chariots and horses that are coming. You know, they were just four lepers. I mean, how much sound could they have made? You know, but God turned things around. I put a delusionary spirit, you know, upon the camp of the Syrians. Now, these were men of war. They've heard the sound of horses and chariots before. It's not the first time they're going to hear that. You know, there was something that God put upon them, you know, and they began to run away. You know, they began to flee away. They said, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites, the king of the Egyptians. God just put a delusion upon them. And they began to run away and fly away and, you know, escape for their lives. And they left everything. Now, of course, these lepers didn't know anything about it. They were just going, and they had their hearts in their mouth. Like, look, well, it's a chance we're going to take. They can kill us. They save us. Well, whatever. We're not going to be any worse off anyway. So, but the Lord, he turned this thing around. And when they got there, behold, the Syrians had fled. And all their camp was empty. But in their haste, they left their silver, their gold, their raiment, their this, everything. They were crazy. I mean, you know, there was just a craziness upon them that made them run away. I mean, you don't run away from the battle. You put the battle to the fight. But, you know, God put that delusion upon them. They ran. So in order to bring to pass the word of the Lord that the Lord spoke through the mouth of Elisha, you know, and then this lepers got there, found everything all over, say, wow, my goodness, checked it out. Nobody here, checked that out. Nobody there. They looked left and right. They took something. They went and hid it. They came back and took some more. They went and hid it. Say, my goodness, you know, what a spoil. And then suddenly they began to say, well, this is not good. This is not good. We can't keep this to ourselves. I mean, there's too much stuff here. How much of it are we going to carry and hide? Let's go back and tell the king and this, you know, tell the people that these Syrians are actually fled. So they went back, you know, and they told someone who told it to the king and so forth and said, well, you know, this is happening. Nobody believed them at first, but they said, well, let's go check it out. And when they checked it out, they found out that was the case. And then when people heard about it, there was a mad stampede, you know, to go there. And this same man that had said, this captain that had said, can the Lord do these things? Can the Lord open the doors of heaven or windows of heaven? He stood by the gate trying to control, you know, the traffic of people going in and out. But there was a mad stampede. And in the rush, people just, you know, pushed him over. He fell down. People trampled him under. I mean, there was everything going on. And the weight of everybody on him, they trotted him down. He trampled him down. He broke his hand, broke his legs. He couldn't get up. And he died under the stampede. Because the word of the Lord said, you will see it, but you will not eat of it. I mean, he saw people bringing in back and forth. And he saw it, but he didn't eat of it. Because his unbelief, you know, brought that evil upon him. Because he said, well, come on now. Even if the Lord will open the windows of heaven, can he do this thing? Can this thing happen? Well, if the Lord opened the windows of heaven, absolutely, it will happen. But if you don't believe it, well, you will be the one that will lose out. And he was the one that lost and, you know, got nothing. And he died, actually. But the word of the Lord came to pass. So what if some did not believe? This is one of the best stories in it. If you don't believe the word of God, it will still come to pass, but you'll be one that's going to miss out. So, you know, rather than being doubtful and unbelieving, when we hear the word of God, and rather than thinking in your heart that can this thing be, and that's a dangerous thing to say, you know, it will be, you know, you might be the one that miss out if you don't believe. So why not believe? You know, if you don't believe, you have a lot to lose. If you do believe, you have nothing to lose. So that's the what if some did not believe part of the story. But what about, you know, the rest of the story, fully and intentionally believing him? You know, people have to be intentional about the things, you know, that when the word of God is told to them, what must they do? Well, there are many other stories like that, you know, in the Bible. Well, let me share with you a story, you know, of a woman that cried to this same Elisha. This one is in 2 Kings chapter 4. She said, my husband, your servant is dead. And you know that my servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen, because we can't pay the mortgage. We can't pay our bills and so forth. They're going to take my sons into slavery to walk it off. And so she cried unto the prophet. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? What hast thou in the house? And the woman said, well, I have nothing except a, you know, little pot of oil. And the man of God said, well, it is enough. Praise God. I love the confidence of these prophets, you know, how they speak the word of God. And he said, well, here's what you're going to do. I'm going to give you a strategy now. Go borrow to yourself vessels from all of your neighbors. Borrow not a few. As many as you can get, bring them in. And when you bring them in, shut the door. Don't let anybody know what you're doing. And then just pour the oil into each vessel. When it's full, set it apart. Pour into the next and so forth. Go and do that. You know, now, well, that was the word. You know, she could either fully and intentionally trust that word, or, you know, just say, what kind of nonsense is this? I mean, how many pots can I pour oil into from a small pot? She could say that, you know, but, or she could believe. Well, she decided first in her heart, she already knew this was a man of God. You know, so, you know, the anointing that you believe and trust is the anointing that can help you. She knew that this was a man of God, and his word will be precious. And said, well, you know, I'm going to do whatever he said. So she called her sons and said, well, you know, go get me, go borrow some vessels. You know, they said, well, what are we going to do with them? You know, don't worry about it. Just do as I say. Go to all our neighbors, borrow vessels. Tell them we'll bring it back in a few days. But, you know, just convince them to lend you as many as you can find. So they went about, got all these things and brought them, said, put them over there. And bring me a pot one by one. Now, you have to follow the word of the Lord. You can't do otherwise. If she didn't do it exactly like the word said, it wouldn't happen. You have to fully and intentionally trust that word and do it like it said. You know, that's how you do it. If he said do this, you have to do that. If he said the other, you have to do it. So she did it like the word said. And they brought her a vessel and she poured some oil. She said, that's it. They brought her another. My goodness. By the time she poured into even the first vessel, naturally speaking, the oil she was, I mean, the pot she was pouring from should have been empty. Because the first vessel they brought to her was an empty vessel. And her own vessel that she had just had some oil in it. And she filled that other vessel. And he said, bring to me the next one. And she poured out, oh my goodness. And this thing is still, I mean, by this time, she's thinking in her mind, well, we got something going on here. So bring me another vessel, she said. And everybody's excited now. Their hearts are pounding because they're like, oh, my goodness, what is going on here? And they keep bring me another one. They set aside. Bring me another one. They set aside. Bring me another one. She poured in and set aside. And finally, she said, bring me another vessel. You know, she had to do it just like the prophet said. You can't bring me 3-5 vessels at once. That's not what he said. He said, you know, bring one, fill it in, set it aside. You know, you have to do it exactly that. That's fully and intentionally trusting the word of God. You know, you have to be intentional about what he said. Pay attention to what he said. Do it exactly like he said. You know, and okay. So she did it. And then he said, bring me another vessel. And said, well, there is no more. And then the oil stayed. Woohoo! I love that story. Ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, let me freely speak to you on this matter today, that if they had continued to bring pots from then until now, that oil would still have been running. You know, because that's the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, it's the word of the Lord is like that. So my question to you today, this is our second punchline for today, is your oil still running and your pot overflowing, or has the oil stayed? The oil will stay, you know, when you don't, you know, have more capacity to receive the miracle, the continuous supply. That's right. You know, this same Elisha, he was a man that he was involved in all kinds of things like that. You know, one time, you know, when he was dying, you know, he told, you know, one king that came to him, he said, well, you know, take your arrows and shoot. And the man, he took the arrows, he said, look out through the window and shoot. And you have to do it exactly like it commands you. So the man took, you know, through the arrow, you know, windows and shot. But he shot like three arrows and then he stopped. And the prophet was furious. He said, why in the world did you stop at three? You should have done six and seven or more. And then the Lord would have wiped up all your enemies completely. You know, so that's the next punchline for us today is this. When you are on a roll with God, don't stop. That's right. What would you stop for? You are on a roll. I mean, the supply has not ended. Why would you stop? Keep on doing it. Keep on believing God. If you are believing God, like I often say, you are taking your bucket to the ocean to take a feel. Well, you know, why take a bucket when you can bring a barrel? Or why take a barrel when you can bring a tanker? You know, why go only once when you can go multiple times? Keep coming back. The source is still there. You know, God is an unlimited supply. Hallelujah. Philippians 4 and 19. My God shall supply all your needs. Actually, continuous tense that's used there. Shall continually supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, not according to your job. Not according to the money in your bank. Not according to the help of man. Or not according to the job you have or don't have, but according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? But you got to keep believing. The moment you stop believing, the oil will stay. You have to be intentional also in following the commandments of the Lord. When he gives you strategy, do it exactly. Don't add to it or take away from it. If you don't do it exactly, it might not work. I mean, this same Elisha man, you know, one time someone came to him. He was the captain of the host of the Syrians. His name was Naaman. And he came to him, you know, for to be healed of his leprosy. Because the king sent him. The king had heard, you know, one little maid who was a, you know, maybe a slave servant or something in the house. He said, look, would to God, you know, that this, my Lord, would be in Israel. And, you know, he will be healed by the prophet. Well, she knew. She'd seen some things. So the king, you know, sent to the other king and sent letters. Say, hey, you know, this is my man. Heal him. The other king heard this story and he rent his clothes and says to all his counselors and lords around him, see how this king is seeking occasion against me for trouble. I'm here minding my business. Why in the world is he sending me a leper to heal? Am I God? Why is he doing this? See that this man has evil in his heart. So if I don't do this thing, he's going to find occasion to fight me. But how can I do this thing? And then while he was, the word was still in his mouth, Elisha, you know, Elisha was a man in the spirit, or king, had a double portion of Elijah's anointing. He came in the spirit, he can hear anything. You know, when the kings of Syria are planning things, he'll tell the king of Israel what they are planning. And the king of Syria would say, well, who is the mole among us that's, you know, leaking our secrets? You know, and so on. And somebody said, well, there is no mole here. There is a man, a prophet in Israel. You know, and even the things that you are discussing here among your captains, he's hearing it and he's telling it to the other one. That's why they are escaping out of your hand. You say, wow. So they sent to go and fetch him, you know, and so on. Anyway, in this story of Naaman, you know, he came to Elisha. And Elisha just said to him, well, you know, you go over here to the River Jordan and you just go and, you know, just, you know, dip yourself, you know, 7 times. You can read that story in 2 Kings chapter 5. And, you know, the man was furious. I mean, the Naaman man, you know, because he had brought, you know, some gifts, he had brought some things, he was going to pay the prophet, you know, and then he was angry. He said, I thought the man would come out here, call upon the name of his gods, jump up and down, shout the victory, strike the leper, lay hands upon me and do something and recover me, you know. And but because Elisha did not do as he thought, he was offended and furious. He said, all the rivers of Damascus, are they not better than this Jordan? Should not have washed in them and be clean? Well, no, you shouldn't. Well, you could, but you may not have been clean, because that's not what the word said. When the word says it, you have to be fully and intentional in obeying that word. So he went away angry. And the servants went and told him, thank God that they spoke some sense into his head. They said, look, what are you angry about? If the man had told you to pay 1,000 shekels of silver and gold, would you not have done it? You know, but this now, you know, say, look, let not my master be angry. This man is, you know, told you to do nothing that will cost you other than just go to the river and do it. What you got to lose? So, well, persuaded him. Okay, well, let's see. But you better don't be wasting my time here. So he went to Jordan and did it. But you have to do it exactly, fully and intentionally. You cannot go in there. If he said 7 times, you can't go in there and do it 5 times and quit. You know, you got to do it exactly like he said. And so he went and did it exactly like the word said. And my goodness, first time he did it, nothing happened. Second time, nothing happened. And so forth. On the 7th time, though, that the word of the Lord might be fulfilled, his skin began to peel off. The old leprous skin suddenly began to peel off. My goodness. And his skin came like a skin of a young baby, fresh. Clean. And he said, oh my goodness, what is this thing? So he goes back to the prophet, try to give him a reward and everything. But you know, we'll leave that part of the story alone. But the story here is, look, you got to believe the word and do it fully and intentionally like the Lord commanded. You know, the word of the Lord might come to you through the scriptures. It might come through a dream or a vision. It might even come to you in the cases of these Old Testament stories. You know, the Lord will speak to those people most of the time in those days through the mouth of some seer or some prophet. But they didn't have the Holy Spirit like we did today, like we do today. You know, so, you know, most of the time they have to go hunt down a man or prophet or a woman of God or somebody that had the word of the Lord and inquire the word of the Lord. Well, you don't need to do that anymore, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, he will be with you and he will guide you into all truth. Anything you want to know, ask the Holy Spirit. That's right. Now, people don't know how to do that. because, you know, it's the same thing like the children of Israel. They don't want to do it. They don't want to pay the price of hearing God's voice. God said, if you will indeed obey my voice, you will be unto me a kingdom of priests, and you will be a chosen treasure above all people, unto me a peculiar people, and so forth. And they said, well, at first they said, yeah. Then when they saw all the lightning and thundering and heard all the thundering and so forth and saw the glory cloud, our Pharaoh said, we can't hear the voice of God. You know, but look, the word of God said, if you will indeed obey my voice. So in order to obey the voice, you've got to hear the voice and you got to know that it is his voice. You got to do these things. And so eventually they said, we can't do it. And they rejected God's voice. And Moses became a prophet unto them. You know, until this day, they are still blinded, still looking for some prophet, you know, to tell them the word of the Lord, whereas they could have got it directly from God. And so when Moses was gone for just 40 days, there was nobody around to tell them the word of God again. They don't know how on their own to hear from God. That prophet that used to be the medium is gone. They say, well, we don't know what has gone, you know, happened to this man and whether he's coming back or not. It was only 40 days. Break off, you know. I mean, they came to Aaron, they said, you know, make us gods. Can you imagine? These are the people that have seen the power of God so much. Now, break us, I mean, make us gods to go with, you know, before us and so on. Because as for this Moses, we don't know what has happened to him. Well, Aaron said, well, break up the earrings and so forth that you have. And then out come this golden calf. My goodness. Here is lesson number 3 or number 4, I don't know, out of this thing, you know. When the answer is delayed in coming from God, you know, in this case, well, they can't hear the voice of God. What's next? Is it the golden calf that you are going to turn to? Or will you hang in there? The lesson we read yesterday, Jesus said, well, hang in there, you know, stay right there. Luke chapter 18 and verse 8. When the answer comes, will he still find you at the point of faith? Stay right there. Don't turn to the golden calf. Well, for many people, it'll be the golden calf because they don't know how to hear from God themselves. I've been looking for a word here, a word there, a word there. And if they don't have it, well, they make something else unto themselves. These people made something up. That's not how it works. Today, Bible says you are all able ministers of the New Testament. You have the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And you must learn, you know, to walk and talk with him. Praise God. Hallelujah. It might take sitting in his presence. It might take, you know, learning to discern his voice. Whatever. It might take practicing his presence, you know, practicing the feeling of knowing that something is around you. That something is his presence. When you know him enough, it will become someone and not something. You know, you practice these things and then you know. But when he gives you instruction, you do it exactly. You know, you don't, you know, deviate from the left to the right. One time Jesus told Peter, and he asked Peter actually a question. He said, well, you know, because they said, well, you know, why are you not paying taxes? Jesus knew that he didn't need to pay any taxes. But he said, well, okay, fine. You know, who should pay taxes? I said, well, is it those who are born free or foreigners? I said, well, foreigners. I said, well, okay, then those who are born free don't need to pay. But nevertheless, lest they be angry against us. So Jesus, you know, he didn't want to stir up too much trouble. You know, you pay tax. Go pay for them and for me. I mean, for you and for me. But here's what you're going to do. Go down to the lake and cast in your hook and bring the first fish that you find and open his mouth. You'll find a coin in there. Well, you have to fully and intentionally do exactly what he said. You cannot go to the market and go and buy a fish. you are not going to find a coin in his mouth. You know, you got to do exactly like he said it. Listen to the instruction. That's called strategy from the Lord. And you got to do it exactly like he said. And so, but in the meantime, you know, there's a hidden lesson also there. You know, when Peter is going to get his gear, because he already snatched it, but the Lord called him and he dumped that gear. Now he has to go get it. He's not carrying it around. So he has to go to his house, go get it, or go borrow or whatever. But he has to go get his own, really. Because he said, well, when you've cast your hook. So he had to go get the hook. Can't get something else. You know, so as he's going to get it, the devil comes and whispers to him, come on now, Peter. What is this nonsense? This is absurd. Who ever heard of such a thing? You know, you're not going to find a coin in the mouth of the fish. How do you know? How do you even know that you'll catch anything? And even if you did, I mean, all the time that you've been fishing, have you ever found a coin in the mouth of a fish? Come on. You know, so, you know, but yeah, you're going to have the opportunity to doubt the word of God. That's the doubt will come in because Jesus did not snap his hand, his fingers and give him the coin. He could have done it, but he didn't do it. You know, he's going to make Peter do something. You know, if you believe the word he said, then do something about it. That faith with action is believing. So Jesus said, go to the lake. The first fish you catch after putting in your hook, open his mouth and you'll find a coin. Well, you have to do it exactly like he said. But, you know, because it's going to take time for you to go through all that process, the word of the Lord will be tried during that time. The word of the Lord will be tried. The devil will come in there, tell you, whoever heard of such a thing? So finally, well, Peter had to persuade himself that it is the master that has spoken. And what he said will come to pass. No matter whether his mind was doing his thinking in his mind, you know, I never caught a fish with coin in his mouth before. But he will remind himself, well, nevertheless, the master has spoken. So I believe it. I'm going to do it. So he goes, gets his gear, goes down to the lake or whatever, casts the thing in, and bring out. And ladies and gentlemen, some of you may have heard me say this before. The moment that Jesus spoke that word, because Jesus is the master of the universe. That's right. The fish that were in the lake, they heard his voice. They heard the voice of the master. Because, you know, when he commands, everybody goes in. It's only people, you know, that don't want to do the will of God. But his creation, they do his will. There's one coin in that lake. And all the fish are going to struggle to get it. But the master said, there is a coin in here. And all the fish are going to fight. I'm going to be the one to be and get that thing. You know? And Jesus just said the word. That's it. It's done. You know, God gives the word. Great is the company that publishes it. Jesus spoke the word. Great is the company of fish that are going to try to make it happen. They'll fight among themselves to get that coin. You know, and the lucky one. That's right. You know, got that coin. Yeah. And they're thinking, wow, you know, I'm doing the will of the master. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, you may think that this is an absurd thing to think, but I guarantee you, his creation, they hear his voice and they do what he says. And you tell the fish, get the coin and bring it to Peter. They'll do exactly that. You can tell a whale, you know, go swallow this man up. Don't eat, you know, preserve him. Don't chew him up and keep him 3 days. And then, you know, carry him all the way over there and dump him on the shore. They will obey him. Whatever he says, they do. Glory to God. So the fish, they struggled among themselves. One of them swallowed the coin. And he was the one that came up. And I guarantee you, when Peter did exactly as the master said, fully and intentionally, he caught that fish. And even when he caught it, he's like, well, you caught the fish now. Well, let's see if you'll find a coin in there. And the devil will always challenge that word. There will be contradictions on every step of the way to that word. Well, but you know, Peter had to keep encouraging himself that, yeah, the master said, and I know that there will be a coin in his mouth. And sure enough, praise God, when he opened up that fish, there was that coin. The exact amount that he needed was right there, because the master said so. But look at what Jesus is doing here, teaching Peter a lesson, you know, and making Peter go through all of that in order to get, you know, Jesus could have handed him the coin. I mean, he didn't do it. You know, so it's the same thing. You know, storm is coming. You're going to have to build the ark. Well, you got to pay some taxes. Well, you're going to have to do some work to get it paid. Praise the Lord. This is how it works with God. You put your faith into action. You hear the word of God. You fully and intentionally do what he said. Hallelujah. You know, David also, shall I go up against the Philistines? I said, well, go up. So he goes up. You know, and these Philistines, they're like, you know, whack-a-mole, you know, beat them up today. They go away for a season. They come back again. That's the devil. That's how he does it. You cannot get rid of him completely, you know, right now, until the Lord puts him in that lake of fire. You know, so, you know, and even when the Lord puts him in the bottomless pit, after 1,000 years, the Lord bring him out of there, you know, come out again and go up against the king, but you can't do it. And now the God will seal his doom. But now, all you can do is cast him out from one place to another, cast him out from this and that, you know, and he'll go away, he'll come back after a season, you know, say, you know, the devil went away for a season, he'll come back again. Now you whack him some more. So when he comes back, you whack him some more. When he comes back, you whack him some more, you know, and so that's the way it works. You got to keep on believing the word. And no matter what the devil says to you, you know, you whack him on the head and stay with the word of God and it'll come to pass what the Lord said to you. But you got to do it like the Lord said. Hallelujah. The devil will challenge it and he will always challenge it. And when you beat him first time, he'll go away, but he'll come back. You know, that's the reason why, you know, somebody is on a high today. They're walking with God. They're on a high. You know, they're hearing the voice of God and everything is all cool and great. And they are just on a roll. Tomorrow, you know, they are moody, heavy, you know, and so forth. And they just can't see clearly. Well, because the devil, he'll come back and he'll try to put all kinds of things in your mind again. You know, so this work that we have of beating, whacking the mole is never over. Whack him here, he'll jump up again. You whack him again, he'll jump up again some other place. Well, that's the way it is. But you keep whacking him. You whack him with the word of God. Praise the Lord. Resist the devil and he will flee, but he'll come back again. You know, and then you resist him some more and then, you know, whatever it goes on. But you must listen, you know, to what the Lord is telling you, and you must fully and intentionally trust his word and do it. One time Jesus, after 3 days, you know, of the multitude hanging around him, in the meantime, you know, they had depleted all their, and everyone that brought a little food or water along, it's all gone now. So nobody else has anything to eat except this young boy that just joined and had his sack lunch that he hasn't eaten yet. And Jesus said, well, give them to eat. They said, well, where are we going to find, you know, enough bread for all these people? Jesus says, well, what do you have? And then they said, well, and immediately this little boy said, well, yeah, but I, you know, I got something. And he wants to give it to the master. He's so happy, you know, to give his lunch to the master. So they took it from him. Yeah. Maybe Andrew or somebody takes it from him, rubs his head, say, thank you, boy. You know, he takes it to the master. I say, well, here is what we have, but what is this among so many? You know, and the Lord said, well, it is enough, but here's what you got to do. And then the Lord gives a commandment and he gives the word, but you have to fully and intentionally trust everything that he said. You can't do it otherwise. When he tells you, put the people, set them down in companies of 50. Set them over here, set them over, sit them down, and then you give to them. If you don't do it like that, it's not going to happen. You got to do it exactly like he said. The Lord doesn't use vain words. So you must learn, practice to listen to his instructions. It may seem like a casual instruction. No, it's exactly like he said. Do it like he said. Put the people in company. Say, you guys sit over here. You have to count in the 50s. And when they put them there, I say, yeah. And then, well, Jesus blesses the five loaves and two fishes and puts it into the hands of the disciples. So now you go feed them. Praise God. And if you do it exactly like he says, you will get those results just like he intended. And Jesus walked away. He just said it, you know, blessed the thing and walked away. Didn't even look back. And the Gospels recorded that Jesus fed the multitude. Jesus didn't feed the multitudes. It was the disciples that fed the multitudes. All that Jesus did was blessed the thing and put it in the hands of the disciples. And it was his disciples that fed the multitudes with the blessing that they received from God. That's it. Ladies and gentlemen, they were partners with the Christ in the creation. This bread and fish was multiplying, not exactly in the hands of Jesus, was multiplying in the hands of the disciples, for they obeyed fully and intentionally what he said. And Jesus just broke the bread into 12 pieces. There's no big miracle in that. Anybody can break bread into 12 pieces. You can and I can. I can take a loaf and break into bread 12. There's no big deal to that. But when each of those disciples received a small piece of bread and some small fish in their hands, you know, which all that Jesus did was put a blessing on him, put it back in their hands. Now, the real test comes from dishing it out. You know, are you going to be able to dish out the blessing that God already put in your hand for as long as there is a need? Well, as long as there was still somebody to feed, the fish and the loaves were multiplying in the hands of the disciples, ladies and gentlemen. Not in the hands of Jesus, in the hands of the disciples. Hallelujah. Jesus already done. He's done his part. He walked away. He didn't even look back. And so they had to keep believing. And it was like, my goodness, you know, I just took a piece and gave it. And then it looked like nothing happened. I mean, nothing depleted. The small piece you have, you took, you gave to somebody, and there's still more. I'm like, my goodness, what is happening? And they have to keep on believing. Praise God. That's fully and intentionally believing his commands. Now, what is it that the Holy Spirit, what strategy is it that the Holy Spirit has given you? You must fully and intentionally. You can't doubt. Listen to what James said in James chapter 1, verses 6 to 8. He said, look, if you are asking anything from God, you've got to be intentional about receiving from God what you asked. You cannot doubt. If you waver, he said, he that wavereth, you know, is like a wave of the sea. He said, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. James 1:6. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man or woman think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. If you are wavering, ladies and gentlemen, don't even think you will receive anything. Wavering is doubt. And that's the, you know, the lesson from yesterday. This is your piggyback on that. You know, unbelief and doubt, you know, leads to this wavering attitude. You know, you think he's going to do it, but in your mind you think he's not going to do it. You know, you're not sure whether it will happen. And will the Lord do this thing? Can he open the windows of heaven? Can I find the coin in the mouth of the fish? You know, up and down like that. You know, you're wavering. You know, but you need to turn it into a nevertheless moment. That's right. I've been out here all night long. The Lord told them in Luke chapter 5. Peter was out there with his fishing partners, casting, you know, his net all night long, trying to fish and catch on. He was a master at it. That's what they did in their trade. They were expert fishermen. But that night, they caught nothing. God, you know, wanting to show us a lesson. They caught nothing. And so they packed in their nets, washed their nets, packed it in, gave it up. And I was like, well, you know, Tomorrow will be another day. You know, today the fish are not biting. You know, we'll come back some next time. And Jesus gets in the boat. He says, do it again. Hallelujah. Do it again. You know, and you got to do it exactly. He said, no, this side. This side. You know, cast your net over on this side of the boat. But first, launch out into the deep. And Peter said, look, we already done that. Been there, done that all night long. Caught nothing. And as he started to say that, he turned it into a nevertheless moment. You know, and the nevertheless moment is wow. You know, it's a real wow. Because somehow, according to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, which I've taught in the room many times, I'm bringing it all together today. The word of God is a discerner, and in, you know, sense, but it's also a divider between the soul and the spirit. On the one hand, the soul says, well, you know, we've been there all night long. We're already discouraged. We've washed our nets. Nothing's going to happen. Discouragement, unbelief, doubt, all these things and so forth in the soul realm. Wavering. But then the spirit realm remembers the word of God. And that's the word. It's a divider. It separates the soul and the spirit. And he said, wow. Nevertheless, at your word. That's right. That's how you do it. You know, don't let your soul and the emotions and the doubting and the wavering get the better of you. Let the spirit latch onto the word. And then he said, well, nevertheless, at your word, I will do it as you said. However, you have to do it as he said. You can't go 10 feet and say, no, if he said launch out into the deep, you have to launch out into the deep. If he said cast your net over on this side of the boat, you have to do it exactly like that. That's fully and intentionally trusting his word. You have to do it exactly like he said. And then my goodness, when he did it, it was like, oh my goodness, Lord, depart from me. You know, I'm a sinner. I don't understand how these things work. And the Lord just smiled. They drew so much fish. They couldn't even, I mean, the net, you know, was so filled. As they pulled it in, the boat began to sink. They had to beckon to some other boats. Hey, come over here. Something's happening. Meanwhile, those other boats are catching nothing. But the master, when he speaks, the fish will come. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, the fish, they heard that, you know, what Jesus said, you know, and those fish was all of them swimming to that, you know, deep part of the river or whatever it was that they were on, the sea, you know. As soon as Jesus said, you know, launch out into the deep, cast your net down for a catch. All the fish are running into that direction. God the master spoke. That's it. Glory to God. And they will be there. And they were there. You don't worry about how it's going to be. The master has spoken it. It will come to pass. It doesn't matter whether, you know, it looks like it on the surface. Peter didn't see any of the fish, you know, but... Because the master spoke, the fish will rush to that direction. Because the word of the master will move them and they will obey it. That's right. Now, you take a lesson from that today. What has the master spoken over you? What is the word that he gave you? You will emerge. You will experience a quantum leap and many other things that he said. Well, you might be thinking, well, come on now. You know, I mean, you've tried this many times. It never worked. You know, what makes you think it's going to work now? You know, those are the tactics of the devil. So, well, you know, it's not going to work. You know, I mean, you can't do that. And so on and so forth. But you must be fully and intentionally in trusting him. Trust his word. Hallelujah. Now, trust is something that you get in there, sink his teeth in, and will not shake. Whether it takes a day, 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 years, however long, you stay right there with it. That's intentionally. You be intentional. This is what he said. You remind yourself of what he said. I will be the father of nations. So I'm going to change my name to prove it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, have you now understood these things? Now, this is really a follow-up of yesterday's lesson. I wanted to tell you those stories, you know, just to wrap it up. But let's end where we started. What if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the word of God of none effect? Well, what if you don't believe that you can emerge? You said, well, you know, I don't know. Every time I tried it, I always get this close, but it never works. Somebody always steps in ahead of me, and the first person that gets in the water after the angel stares is the one that's going to be healed. You know, how do I know that I'm going to be the first? I mean, there's a lot of people, but he kept coming anyway. Praise God. And in the meantime, his mind is telling him, well, you know, every time you've tried this thing, you didn't make it. You're not going to make it. Just stay home. Don't waste your time. But the man was intentional. He said, well, I'm going to try. He kept trying anyway. And the Lord, he knew when he saw this man that he's been trying. So the Lord, he tells him, the Lord asks him, would thou be made whole? Hallelujah. Now, when the Lord asks you a question, be careful now how you respond. Because there's a reason why the Lord may be asking you. And so when this man said, well, but of course, what kind of question is that? I'm here to be healed, but I can't get in there fast enough. See, that's the problem. This man wanted to be healed, but he's zeroed in on how he thinks he's going to be healed. This is the way. That's how it's always been, and that's how it can be. Well, the master is the master. He can do what you don't think he is the way he's going to do it. It's not a one-way in traffic. He can do something different than the way it did before. You know, can have a word for you today. Today's word is never mind the angel and never mind the water. I'm right here. Take up your bed. That's today's word. And there are a lot of people there. There are, the Bible say, a great number of impotent folk, but Jesus went to only one man. That's right. Hallelujah. You know, so are you going to be the one? Will you take up your bed today and will you walk? Praise God. But you got to do it like you said. If you say take up your bed and you don't take up your bed, you're not going to get healed. You got to be fully and intentional in doing as he said. Praise the Lord. Father, I pray over the room this morning. We've shared a short word of exhortation. I pray that it bless the heart of the people. And that people will learn to be intentional and do it exactly like you said. And as we listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, teach us, Lord, open our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. And when we hear, give us a heart to do as you said, exactly. Praise God. And Lord, we know that the Lord's word will sustain itself, that it might come to pass what the Lord has spoken over you. He can make things happen. He can make the footsteps of four lepers sound like thousands of thunderous hoofs of horses and chariots, so that the word of the prophet might come to pass. Lord, we thank you and we give you honor and praise. That which you have spoken over your people, that which you have declared by your mouth to them, all that they found in the scriptures that you have spoken to them, let it be fulfilled by your hand in their lives as it is this day, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And grant your people this victory. In believing you, that's right. Believing God has rewards. And if you can believe him, you know, you can also see the results of what he promised. Jesus said in Mark chapter 9 and verse 23, all things are possible to him that believeth. You know, do you believe this? Well, the man said, Lord, I believe. But sometimes I have a shaky mind. So help thou, O Lord, my unbelief. Now, you got to be open and honest before the Lord. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. You know, you got to be open before the Lord because, you know, he is the one with whom you have to do. And he knows, you know, these things, you know. So open up before the Lord. I want us to pray today in a minute. You say to the Lord, you know, you say to him, Lord, there is no creature that is not manifest in your sight. All things are naked and open unto your eyes, because you're the one with whom I have to do. So, Lord, there's some unbelief in my heart. The Holy Spirit will reveal it to you, too. But you have to be intentional in turning it over to him, and he'll help you. Praise the Lord. Father, help your people today as we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.